Welcome in to the Point to Post podcast, episode number 3. I'm your point guard, Toby Miller, with the postman, Eric Sweet. Sweet, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, man. I'm excited to talk about game 2 here of our two-part trilogy. Not trilogy, I guess. Trilogy makes 3, right? So we can't do 3 of them because we got to move on to something else. But two-part here in the game 2 today.
Yeah, we did Inside Game Day Part 1 for Episode 2, try to give the audience an inside look at what it looks like inside a locker room on the floor during high-level high school basketball games. So we talked about a game each last episode, and we're going to talk about another meaningful game for us and give you an inside view on those. Sweet, why don't you kick us off? What game did you pick for number 2?
So for game number 2 was from this past 23-24 year. We at Oak Harbor went into a new league, the NBC League, and one of our main rivals is a close town school, Eastwood, and they came to our gym, and we ended up getting a win that night against them. When we went over to their gym, they ended up repaying us and got us over at their place, so it was a 1-1. But end of the day, the reason I picked this game was it kind of was our season. We had some ups and downs, some highs and lows. We came out in the first quarter and shot the ball extremely well. Just some simple actions early, hit some big-time threes that we really push and try to do in the course of our game. But then in the second and third quarter, we got outscored bad, and they got their way back. They actually ended up taking the lead late in the third, early in the fourth, and we fought our way back and ended up taking the lead and winning the game. So I was really proud of the way we played this game and executed. We made some high-level shots, some hard shots throughout the course of the game. And you know, Toby, as a coach, you just got to make shots. And it sounds simple, but you got to make easy shots and you got to make some hard shots to win basketball games. Don't you agree?
I would agree with that. And a common theme I think everyone's going to see in this episode is resiliency. So you talked about came out, shot it well, then they battled back. Could have easily folded, let the momentum go their way, but you guys fought to the bitter end in the fourth quarter. So I know firsthand how well the Oak Harbor Rockets can shoot the ball. We'll probably talk about that in another podcast. But, Sweet, you want to dive into some of the specifics in your film?
Yeah, I will. So just to start off with, like, here's how the game went for us. I mean, I have our end of game stat sheet right here in front of me. That's why I'm looking over here. But, for example, we shot 28 threes that game, made 10 of them for 35%. And I would have shot probably 5 more if the game would kept going. I mean, we were going to keep shooting threes. And then you talk about like the mid-range game and one dribble pull-ups. And we took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We took 5 mid-range pull-ups jumpers. Everything else was inside the paint. So we shot 28 threes, 5 15-foot jumpers, and then everything else was in the paint. So that kind of describes the game that we had in a nutshell. We had some great action, simple action. I don't get too crazy when it comes to a lot of things. This first clip you're going to watch here is just an early high ball screen. We like doing this a lot. We drag it. We have a shooter in the corner, and we just kick it to the corner. Now, what's really nice about that play was that Ethan Stokes was getting face guarded, so it really allowed us to do some things there. We came out and pressured a little bit in this game. We tried a different press, a 2-2-1 press. I don't know how you feel about pressing. We'll talk about that here in a second. But we got an early turnover off of it, hit a nice walk-up three that I enjoy. I really like that shot there. I think it's something that makes you feel good as a player, and it's something really hard too. Here's just an offensive rebound, drive, kick again to another three. I mean, we just shot back-to-back threes there, long rebounds, and we make the three there. So the first quarter, we got really hot and really got after it. And you saw 3 clips there where we hit threes. What's your take on a good old-fashioned walk-up three-pointer in the middle of a game for one of your best players?
So a couple things I want to touch on. Talk about that in a second, but would you just give the audience an idea of the type of player that Ethan Stokes is? Obviously, I coach Ethan in AAU basketball. Ethan's going to be a collegiate basketball player. The level is yet to be determined, but he's a really nice player. Talk about, you know, why he was being face guarded and the type of player that Ethan is before we get back into the X's and O's.
Yeah, Ethan has averaged 20 points the last 2 years for my program. And so he is highly respected around our league, and he's somebody that gets face guarded because of the 20 points. But the main reason he gets face guarded is, and I'm going to show a clip here in a little bit, is he makes and takes high-level shots. Three-pointers, mid-range, he dunks it at the rim. He's got all three levels to his game. And then he's long and he's super athletic, and he is a hard he's a hard person to defend when you don't spend or you don't put one guy on for the whole time, because he's shifty, his length, he can shoot a three, he can shoot the mid-range. He has a great pull-up jumper, probably one of the best I've ever coached. And then if you don't guard him, he's going to blow right by you and dunk on you. So it's a really tough defense, or really tough to defend him in the course of a game. And so that's why he was getting face guarded.
I think Ethan elevates on his shot exceptionally well, which is something that you really want to see at the next level, how they can get that off. And, you know, it can be frustrating as coaches sometimes when guys have a little bit of fade in their jump shot naturally.
Yeah.
Because it makes the shot harder, but it also gives him a little bit of space. Ethan kind of fades back and shoots it high, and he's able to get it off whenever he wants it. That's what makes him such an intriguing prospect. In terms of that walk-up three suite, I think anytime you can have your momentum and the weight of your body going toward the rim, you should, and you can get it off and you're a good shooter, you should take the three. So I'm all about a dribbling into a three. At my time at Heidelberg, I was in charge of a lot of the scouting reports and stuff. And you would be surprised to see how many guys who were good three-point shooters shot it better off the dribble, just one dribble toward the rim, rather than catch and shoot. So you have to know the type of shooter you are and what your kid's like.
That's something we work on in practice, though, too. I mean, we work on set shots. I mean, you saw the corner three where we dribble, drive, and kick. That's a drill we do in practice. Obviously, we don't have the high ball screen in practice. We just attack at that angle and kick it to the corner. That's a shot we work on almost every day in practice. And then at least every other day, we're working on one or two dribble pull-up jumpers, because if the defense is going to back off of you because they feel like they got to get back to defend, I want my kids feeling comfortable pulling that shot and shooting it. And it's a huge momentum swing. If for some reason that walk-up shot makes you feel better about what's going on in the game, it's not any crazier of a shot. Like, it's not like this radical shot, but walking up and just saying, all right, the defender's not going to guard me, I'm just going to shoot it, and then you knock it down, it just makes the rhythm of the game go better. It makes the player feel better too. So it's something we work on in practice a lot.
I completely agree with that. Sweet. You talked a little bit about your 2-2-1 press. You want to talk about that? You have some more stuff to finish out the game too after we touch on the press?
Yeah, yeah. So we went to a 2-1-2 press, not a 2-2-1, a 2-1 okay. press, 2-1-2. I got it from a buddy of mine, a coach that we scrimmage against a lot. I like what he did with it. We tried something new. I'm always willing, and we'll get into that in another podcast, all the things I've tried and dove into on the defensive end. And so we tried to do something different this year with that press, came out and executed in that game. And it's something just unique and different. We really wanted to keep people in front of us and zigzag them and make them work with the basketball. And in that clip, you can see that Jackson Overmyer got an easy steal, and then we were able to get that walk-up three. So I don't know. I mean, you didn't press a ton this year. What's your take on pressing full court?
I like it more so when there's a shot clock. So, like, my AU team will press at the Nike events that we play in because there's a shot clock, because you make the team pass it back and forth 2-3 times, and then they get across half court, and they only got 12 seconds to shoot it. I don't like to press if you're going to be over aggressive and sell out, because I think in high school basketball, anytime you give somebody something easy, whether it's a shot that they're comfortable with or a layup, it really helps kids build their confidence. We pressed a little bit against Margaretta back into a zone just to change the tempo. I'm big on trying to change tempo and cater it to what you need for that specific game. But typically speaking, I just don't like to give up anything easy. And pressing's a lot like gambling. Like, sometimes it really helps you get the energy up, you get some layups, and other times it just kills you, and then the other team's really feeling themselves the rest of the game.
True. That's very true. here's a clip of what we were talking about with Ethan making really tough jump shots. He is just a hard defender, and here's a prime example of it. Brings the ball up the court, gets a high ball screen again, rejects it, spins, and then just takes a really difficult shot and then makes it. Like, that type of shot, as a coach, you can't coach this and you can't coach against it. This is just a kid making a really tough shot, and this is a big part of the game. It's a tie ball game in the fourth quarter. He makes his shot, and you can see in the clock down there, we go up 2 with 6 minutes to go. Something I love to do as a coach, and you see in this clip, is anytime there's a wet spot in the court, I'll walk out with a towel just to go talk and chit chat and get a few things in with the referees. I always laugh about it. But simple, I mean, based on how it bounced, wide open corner three, 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, like that was huge. We went up, that took us up, as you can see, eight there. And then here's another, they started to pressure us a little bit here, and we just got some action. Our five man Danny Allen always kind of stays at the top there looking to set these high ball screens. He sets it, he fades and or rolls and gets it. Part of the roll there was because we've been shooting the three ball so well that they had to go out there and guard Michael Aline in the corner. So the roll was wide open. And then here's one more three. We're up three with a minute 55 to go. Based on our bounce here between Ethan and Michael, two of our top players. And then we end up just kind of getting a dribble drive again here and just kicked out to our shooter, number 23 here on the wing. High ball screen again. Kind of get down in and kick it out. Just a good old-fashioned three-pointer right there. That kind of sealed the game for us and end up winning it off of that. And it was a good game for us. We shot the ball well. You saw these clips. Very simple actions. You got to shoot the ball and you got to make the ball. And all those looks outside of Ethan's really hard look are shots that we practice in. We take in practice and work on.
I think I'm really excited that Danny Allen's done playing for you, because Danny Allen was like the greatest unsung hero in Oak Harbor basketball history. He helped you guys win so many games just doing the dirty work. So shout out Danny Allen. Really good kid. Really nice player. Sweet. What about that game did you pick to highlight? Like, was it just you guys shooting the ball, flowing well on offense? What made it special for you?
Shooting the ball in the first quarter is something I always enjoy. It makes the first quarter a lot of fun. I also picked it, though, because of we end up, like I said, we were up big. It was 20-7. We're up 13 to end the first quarter. And in the third quarter, it was 44-44. They end up taking the lead a little bit. And so we had to fight and get back into it. And so I picked it because it showed our toughness this year. We shot the ball well. And you know, when you shoot the ball well, sometimes you feel like you're invincible. And then all of a sudden you stop shooting it well. And you're like, oh, crap, I got to get back and play defense and do the right things. And then the shots started coming again. And so I also have a lot of respect for Eastwood basketball. I think they're a great program. I think they have high-level kids year in, year out. It's a game. It was early in the season. It was a big win for us. And part of that is because I respect who they are and what they are capable of. They always have talent and they always compete at a high level. So that's why I picked that game. Just the growth of the kids did throughout the course of the game kind of goes back to what you said earlier. High school basketball has these ups and downs and you have to ride them and you have to be good at it as a coach and you have to ride it with your kids and you got to work through it with them and be positive. And it was a good game for us and something I'm proud of. And so we had a lot of positives coming out of that game.
Anytime you can get a league win, it's super exciting, super rejuvenating for your program, no matter where you're at in the season. The one that I'm going to bring up to talk about is against St. Paul at home. And this is not a league game. It's a non-league game for us. I'm going to bring it up for two reasons. Reason number one was St. Paul was, I believe, tied for first in their league coming into this game. This was in the middle of the season. So I believe they were tied for first in the Firelands, or at least hovered. They were right there in the mix, a game back or something. So a team at the top of their league. And then we just came off a brutal double weekend loss where we went to Port Clinton and lost by, I think, 8 or 6. It was one of our first few games without Cody Scroggins. And
That was a league opponent, too.
League opponent. Port Clinton had a young man, Jackson Beasley, who's an excellent player. He's going to play at Heidelberg University. They were just extremely well prepared for us. Coach Rohde had a really good game plan, and we just really struggled without Cody in that game. We were still trying to get our legs underneath us and stuff. So we lost that one brutal. We go back the next night and play at Norwalk, who was a Division I school, which is tough for us because we're a Division III school. And we controlled the whole game. We led the entire game until the final buzzer went off. A kid named Mason Gamble, who plays in our AAU organization, made a half-court shot to beat us. We were up by one, and he banked in a half-court shot to beat us at the buzzer. So couldn't have been any lower. We just lost our team captain, two brutal losses. I was very curious to see how we would bounce back against a really good opponent. So we played Norwalk at home, And we come out and we play really well early on. You're going to see in this first clip here, right away, I wanted to do something that we were familiar with. So we went to one of our go-to sets from this season, which was a high-low look for Jackson McNulty, who's one of our one of the best post players in the area.
Yep.
Get a nice deep catch and a finish right there. We played well. We got out in transition. We were able to find shooters. Offensively, we played very, very well. Defensively, though, we just were kind of lethargic. We lacked some energy. They run a lot of staggers and shuffle screens to get their shooters loose. And as you're going to see in one of these clips here, we just there's no screen happening, but we just aren't attached enough to a shooter, and he gets a clean look. These guys ended up making 10 threes and only shot 20. They were just unconscious, on fire. And for as well as we played offensively, you can see we found Charlie in transition here.
Bing bong! Look at that. Go back to that one. Let's watch that real quick. Hold on. I'll get back to that in a second. Show me that transition three.
Sweet, you love the three ball, don't you?
Oh, I love it. As a post player, man, there is no – oh, look at this. Flowing, kick, bing, bong. Oh, great shot. I love the three. I absolutely love it. I got a story later about that. I'll let you continue with it. But, oh, what a great shot that was.
Charlie made his fair share of those this year for us. But you will see, like, in this play, they're running a floppy action on the baseline. Tommy McDonald gets through it and actually tips the ball from behind, okay? And it's a loose ball. We don't grab it, and they find a shooter. I believe they hit, I think, six threes in the first quarter or something ridiculous. And then the other clip that I wanted to show you was at the end of the second half, or first half right here, you can see there's 3 seconds left. We're up by one. We just made a nice run to come back. And their post player, who's a really nice player, Nolan McCall, he catches it in the corner here, sweet, and he hits a turnaround double clutch three. Boom, double clutch. He knocks it in. So we went from being up one on a huge run to down two at the half. So it was just that sort of night for us. So we come out in the second half, you know, got after him a little bit in the locker room because I felt like at some point you have to make your own luck, okay? So we were unlucky the past weekend with that half-court shot, whatever. But there were loose balls that we weren't getting to, things that we talked about and repped in practice, like chasing outside hips and stagger screens and such, that we weren't executing. And so really emphasize that with them at the half. One thing that St. Paul did a really good job of was in the second half, they completely took Charlie away. They completely face guarded him. So out of half, knowing they were going to face guard Charlie, I called one of our elevator sets for Charlie and called for an intentional slip because I knew the gravity of Charlie would pull everyone away. So you can see right there,
yep.
They had that scouted. They knew we were going to run that elevator play, and I told them coming out of the locker room, we're going to slip it for land. It'll be wide open. So that kind of set the tone.
The power of the three ball, man, gets that wide open.
Absolutely sweet. Sweet in his threes, man. But got that slip, and then in the second half, you can see Landon Holder again. We're kind of running a back screen ISO. Talked about at halftime, when they're face guarding Charlie, we have to drive his gaps. So we began to just run these ISO plays with Landon and Jackson where they could drive at Charlie. Charlie's the only guy on that side. There's no help, and you can see Landon's able to get to the rim right there and score. Landon actually scored 7 points in the fourth quarter, which is a lot in a high school basketball game, to help us get this victory. But Jackson McNulty completely dominated this game for us, sweet. He was unbelievable. He had 30 points. He shot, I believe, 57% from the floor and had 10 rebounds. And he's going up against a 6'6 kid that probably is good enough to play college basketball somewhere. So that was Jackson really put us on his back and carried us. Another thing I want to reference in the late clip was Charlie did get loose again because of the gravity of a situation. We ran a lob play for Jackson on the baseline inbounds on a blob, and Jackson caught it, but they all collapsed on him. So when he caught it and tried to go back up, he was completely surrounded. He passed it out to our point guard, Tommy McDonald, who hit Charlie on a one more. Charlie hits a three in the corner and gets us a nice 5-point lead with about a minute left. That was what sealed the deal. But again, common theme, resiliency, man. We were laying down on the mat. We got back up off the mat, and we came up victorious, especially when a team like that is shooting the ball so well for the duration of a game, just to keep fighting. I was so proud of our guys.
You just talked about a play that is defines our podcast, point to post podcast. And your post player, McNaughty, who had a great year, getting double teamed in there, kicks it out to the point guard. They make a hockey pass, hockey assist, one more pass, and you hit a huge corner three. Inside out action is something that has gone away a lot. And I'm as bad at it as high school as it goes too, because we don't always have a true post player. But if you can get an inside out kick out like that, that's another three that I absolutely love, because your eyes are on the rim, your shoulders are squared up. Anytime you can get that quick action, it just makes the shot so much easier. And you guys were tough because you had the shooters on the outside. You had easy post-up plays like you showed the first clip where you just kind of cleared out for Jackson and he's able to go one-on-one. You guys were dangerous in all those avenues. And when your kids shared the ball and moved it, it was great for you guys. That was a good win. Especially like you said, after that weekend you just had, I watched that clip of that half-court shot against Norwalk over and over again to make sure the time actually didn't go off for you, because I felt terrible after seeing that clip.
I appreciate your love and compassion, sweet. I think one thing, another, just to build off what you said, another lost art is post-passing. You would be surprised how many kids struggle to deliver the ball into the post, and you would be surprised how many kids cannot post up and hold a seal and catch the ball where they have position. Landon Holler became pretty much our designated post passer because we struggled with some other people to get it in there. So Landon was kind of, on all of our sets, Landon ended up in a position where he was going to be the passer for us. He was one of those guys that was extremely valuable to us for those reasons. But coaches love things like that, just simply getting the ball in the post.
Coaching high school basketball, especially in small schools like we are, it's funny how we have to manipulate sometimes. And like you said, designate, okay, every play has got to end up with the ball in his hand so we can pass it this way. And it's just, and it's not a knock to the other players. They're just have different skill sets. And we don't have as many kids to pick from. And so you have to be very cautious of your play calls and how you draw things up. And that's something over my years I've gotten better with. And talking with you, you're great at coming out of timeouts with your sets and putting the players in the right position. And I kind of laugh when you have a designated post passer to get ball inside. But it works, because then, like you said, the post bird's got to be able to seal, hold their position. And it's hard. That was something I was good at. It's hard for me to teach it because it's a feel, and you got to know where the defender's at. And then you got to be comfortable going over both shoulders. And a lot of kids just aren't comfortable going over both shoulders. I mean, we've tried to work with that with kids at the high school and even the AU circuit, and they just flat out tell us, coach, I'm not good at that yet. And so we appreciate that, and we work with them. But going over both shoulders makes it easier to seal and read where you need to go. And that's something that kids got to continue to work on. And a lot of kids do, but that's why you put the time in the offseason.
To any players listening to this, when we talk about going over both shoulders, I think it's important to say, like, yes, everyone wants you to be able to go over your right shoulder and use your left hand. But if it is a counter to a left shoulder, right hand hook shot, as long as you can turn over your right shoulder, even if it's with your right hand, you can get away with that as long as it's a counter. It can't be your primary move, but you can turn over that right shoulder and go with your right hand as a counter, because they're going to bite on your primary move. As a post player, do you agree with that? Like, that's a stepping stone to get to that right shoulder, left hand, in my opinion.
I agree 100%. I was, like I said, I wasn't much of a post moves guy. I love to know the seal, and I love to yell and ask for the ball in a certain spot so I could grab and go straight up with it. And so when I do teach post moves to my guys, I do, it's, here's your primary move, get comfortable with it. And then what's the counter to that move? And you got to always have a counter to your favorite move. And if you don't, you become one dimensional and it hurts you. And it makes it easier for us coaches to scout and say, just stay on that side of him. He won't go back. And we've done that to other players, and it hurts them. And so, yes, you need to have that counter, and you need to work on that counter.
Absolutely. Sweet. We've gone a little bit longer today. I think we're just excited about talking some basketball. It's a big weekend for us on the AAU circuit. I'm heading to Indianapolis for NCAA Live Nike event. We're going to be seeing a lot of each other this weekend. But, Sweet, would you do us the honors of getting us out of here?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for listening to episode 3 of the Point to Post podcast. Like I said, every post player wants to be a point guard, and every point guard needs to learn to go post up and have some moves down low. So we appreciate everybody to listening and watching to this podcast. We have a great time talking about it. We'll get into that bing bong a little bit later in some other episodes and where it came from. But thanks for listening to the Point to Post podcast with Eric Sweet and Toby Miller.
Bing bong.